The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
The church is supposed to be a strong, healthy church.
Coming up, Dr. Don Colbert shares biblical truths that can reverse and prevent disease.
But unfortunately, so many Christians and the world, we're actually signing up for diseases by what we're choosing to eat, by choosing not to exercise, by choosing not to get enough sleep, by choosing not to cope with stress the way Jesus taught us how to cope with stress.
The Seven Pillars of Health, next.
Welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robison. Betty is not here. She is actually caring for some family with some challenges right now and health challenges. As a matter of fact, her brother, who was a pastor for many years, First Baptist of the Woodlands near Houston years ago, and he had a heart attack. Other family members, some challenges. One of our children's had some physical challenges. It needed mom to help and help with the children and other cares while they get better, and nobody can do it better than mom. But interestingly, I have observed that we have a health crisis, and I didn't need someone to talk about health care and health care bills or rising medical costs to realize we had a health crisis. All I had to do is look around, look at those closest to me, and look at what's going on in my own life. And we're going to talk about some of those challenges, because I was actually preaching recently in Canada, and I simply quoted Billy Graham, that Billy Graham said we're digging our graves with our teeth. We have an obesity problem. We have a nutritional problem, a dietary problem. We don't eat right. We don't exercise right. You know, the Bible says bodily exercise profits little. Of course, they walked everywhere they went, so everybody had exercise. Today, we just sit around. You know, I've been looking for the recliner that you just sort of turn it on and it exercises you. You know, you sit there and get this thing going. I honestly think I could probably market that deal. I believe it would go. But we really do have, we've got a serious health crisis. And one of the doctors that we greatly respect, as a matter of fact, he's helped so many people you respect. I know he's helped Joyce Meyer tremendously. I know he's helped many people who are in the faith community who believe in a God that heals, but they also believe in a God that wants us to take care of the temple. And so they've been going to Dr. Colbert. He is a medical doctor, a family practitioner, that he is in the Orlando, Florida area. But actually, he's being heard all over the world, and this is a tremendous book. Everything he shares is great. This is The Seven Pillars of Health, The Natural Way to a Better Health for Life. And Dr. Colbert's here. Would you welcome Dr. Colbert to Life Today? Dr., good to see you.
Thank you.
I think that I don't think we have a big enough tax base. I don't think we can tax enough. I don't think we can pass any health care program to deal with the crisis we're bringing on ourselves. And I certainly don't think there's a government solution to the problem. I think there's a personal solution to most of it if we would simply perhaps take some of the advice that you're anxious to share. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And we've got the church is supposed to be a strong, healthy church. People are supposed to look at us and see Jesus in our eyes, Jesus in our actions, Jesus in our speech, but also in our very appearance. We're supposed to be like Moses of old in Deuteronomy 34. When Moses was 120 years of age, it says that his eyesight was not dim, nor his natural strength abated. Here's a man, 120, who climbed Mount Nebo, 3,300 feet high, and he climbed it with ease. And that's how the church needs to be strong. And I'm trying to teach the church what we need to do. And the thing we need to do is we first need to make a commitment that it's God's will that we be strong and healthy. And unfortunately, we're not seeing that.
Well, you see as much illness in the church, and sadly, even in churches that believe in the power of God to heal, as you do anywhere. We I think, really are contributing to the demise, as I even referenced in the open, perhaps in a lighthearted way. We don't get the right physical exercise. We don't get moving. We are too often couch potatoes. We get stressed. Driving is enough to stress people out.
Sure.
You almost get a heart attack driving. You could almost need psychiatric care the way people look at you when you're driving and you don't drive the way, you know, they want you to drive. Have you ever noticed that everybody that passes you is an idiot and everybody you pass is a moron? Have you ever noticed that? So we've got all this pressure on us, but I don't think we deal with it. And when you talk about the seven pillars of health, because I've already looked at the seven pillars that you address, I think you're trying to show people specific, but what we might call realistically simple ways to alleviate some of the diseases that they're actually putting on themselves.
And you hit it on the head, because what's happened, unfortunately, so many Christians and the world, we're actually signing up for diseases by what we're choosing to eat, by choosing not to exercise, by choosing not to get enough sleep, by choosing not to cope with stress the way Jesus taught us how to cope with stress. And as a result, so many Christians are checking out early with deadly diseases that are primarily inflammatory diseases. See, the root of most chronic disease, which most doctors won't tell people, is chronic inflammatory disease. Now, people don't understand what's inflammation.
It did make the cover of Time magazine.
Right.
That was the great killer.
Right.
And you know, I think it shocked the medical community, but they have had to admit it recently that that was the big cardiovascular contributor to more of the heart problems than they had imagined.
Absolutely. Realize out of the 10 major killers in the U.S. each year, which number one is always cardiovascular disease, number two is cancer, number three would be chronic pulmonary diseases, number four would be strokes, number five, accidents, number six, Alzheimer's, number seven, diabetes, number eight, chronic kidney disease, number nine, influenza, pneumonia, number 10, suicide. That's the top 10 killers here in the U.S. Out of those, eight are due to chronic inflammation. Now, inflammation, acute or short-term inflammation, can save your life. See, inflammation is called fire within. That's what it means. But acute inflammation is such as if you get a sprain, an injury, or if you get an infection, or if you get a foreign body like a splinter in your finger, it mobilizes the immune system to save your life. But on the other hand, chronic inflammation, such as when you have damage to your arterial wall, such as by high cholesterol or smoking or high blood pressure, the body attempts to heal that by turning on the immune system. But what happens with chronic injury, it doesn't turn off. So you have chronic immune reactivity with inflammatory mediators like C-reactive protein, that's a promoter of inflammation, that sends white blood cells to that area to heal the problem, but it starts to cause plaque buildup. And that's called silent chronic inflammation that is easily checked by a blood test that most people don't have, called an high-sensitive C-reactive protein, or just abbreviated, HSCRP. It's a number I tell all my patients to know it and to get it down to normal, less than one ideally.
Can you repeat it? Now, by the way, it's in the book, and I'm going to tell you something. You can go online. Your website, let's say people want to go to Dr. Colbert's website,
right,
and they want to kind of analyze some of the things you're saying, or maybe you outline a little bit, or they say, look, I'll get the book there or in the bookstores. If they want to just kind of search what you're saying, where would they go on your website?
Just go to drcolbert.com, drcolbert.com.
You point out so many important things. You referenced before we came out that you really wanted to focus on one of the chapters in the book. Would you do that? Because of
well,
that?
This is living food.
Yeah, that is chapter three.
Right. This is the root cause of inflammation. We talked about eight of the top 10 killers in the U.S. are inflammatory disease,
right,
but also arthritis and every autoimmune disease like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, MS, all of these are inflammatory diseases. But I talked about the HSCRP. If it's greater than 2.11, and that sounds like a low number, 2.11?
HSCRP.
Correct. HSCRP.
So if somebody got a blood test, they should ask their physician to be sure that that is included as what they look at in the
correct
blood.
Okay. And the goal should be less than one. But let's just say it's 2.11. The studies have shown that if it's greater than 2.11, you have a triple the risk of heart attack and double the risk of stroke. And what's interesting now, just now, the NIH, the National Institute of Health, as well as one of the major pharmaceutical companies, are doing very large studies showing how inflammation correlates with cardiovascular disease and stroke, seeing it, taking it even much in a much greater sample size. So it's going to be interesting to see how these studies pan out. but talking about the key thing that I tell people in controlling inflammation, it starts with what we put inside us. And also belly fat. The more belly fat we have, the higher the C-reactive protein is. See, belly fat, people think that just belly fat is just an innocuous tissue that does nothing. Mm-hmm. Belly fat is a metabolically active tissue that produces inflammatory mediators like CRP. Now, CRP, or C-reactive protein, is a promoter of inflammation, and it's a marker of inflammation. But what CRP does, it constricts the arteries, drives your blood pressure up. It causes your platelets to become stickier, setting the stage for heart attacks and strokes. So first of all, belly fat is one of the...
Can I ask you this? Because all of us older guys, you know, we have a little belly fat. I have a little bit of this. I told Betty one time, I said, I have this. I don't want women to lust after me, so that's the reason I have this. And she told me one time, she said, why don't you go ahead and risk it? So get rid of it. But here's the deal. You know, we have this, okay?
Right.
Is this the same issue with women?
Yes,
by the
same
way,
with women.
I'm working on this. I'm
Praise
working
God.
On the core.
Well, I'm going to show you how to get
okay.
it off
okay.
so
right.
that within
right.
the next year it should be gone.
Okay.
But here's the key.
I'll go for 6 months.
Okay, here's
3 months.
Okay, 3 months. That's good.
I want that recliner. They don't do this after.
The goal is this. I'm going to tell you how to get rid of it, too,
right.
a little later
I'm listening to you.
But number one, the first goal for a man is to reduce their waist size to 40 inches or less, and eventually one half of their height in inches. So if a man is 6 foot tall, 72 inches, their waist should be no larger than 36 inches around the navel, belly button, umbilicus, whatever you want to call it, and including the love handles.
I'm 6'3". I don't really have far to go. My little bitty problem here, we're going to get this thing fixed.
Oh, you will.
Okay. All right,
now,
we go.
For women, the women need to be 35 inches or lower, preferably below 35 inches, because the belly fat, like I said, produces this inflammatory mediator that starts to create inflammation that signs you up for all of these diseases, like heart disease, number one killer. Okay, so how do you lower the CRP? How do we put out this fire of inflammation that's burning on the inside of us that's literally, what's interesting, a stat I read, nuclear factor kappa beta is a master inflammatory switch inside our body that is associated with the onset and progression of over 95% of cancers. And in fact, people with cancer, this is what starts the fuse of cancer burning in our bodies is inflammation, which is the number two killer in this country. Realize women, 1 in 8 women, according to the statistics in this country, will develop breast cancer. 1 in 6 men will develop prostate cancer. So we can start quenching inflammation and preventing most cancer. Now, how do we do it?
How?
Number one, we start burning the belly fat off. Number two, we've got to watch the foods that we eat. We've got to start putting in more of God's foods and less of man-made foods. So let's talk of some of the most deadly foods that raise the C-reactive protein. Number one, or the most deadly, is trans fats. Now, trans fats are the most eye-appealing food on the planet. When you walk into a grocery store, the first thing you're going to be hit by is trans fats, the smell of cake with the icing. The icing is almost pure trans fats. Also, commercial peanut butter.
And by the way, can we just stop here and say that's what most church members give their pastors for every celebration? It's like, Pastor, they must not love you very much. They're getting rid of you. So there's no vote out. He just put you out. Mm-hmm. They're killing their preachers.
They're killing their preachers. And that's why I'm trying to get to the church. Quit killing your pastors with dead food. These are deadly foods. The pastries, the donuts. All those foods that smell so good, so enticing, they are literally signing us up.
And they can talk, don't they? They call you. I'm in here. Come get me.
And they're signing us up for heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's disease. They're destroying memories. I see these people dying every day that come to me. And one question I ask my patients every time, I have literally in their history form, what food do you crave? And you know, I crave broccoli or cabbage or and a cauliflower. I never get that.
Yeah.
It's almost always ice cream, cake, cookies.
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Absolutely. Bread. And again, the trans fats are the most deadly fat. Now, the marketers have gotten very, very smart. And I talk about this in the 7 Pillars of Health. Because now they can put 0 trans fats on the label when it actually has 500 milligrams of trans fats per serving, or hydrogenated fats. So they're sneaky. So you got to read the ingredients list. And when you get these different peanut butters, commercial peanut butters, I just looked at it.
I can't hardly get people to read a book. How am I going to get them to read a label?
Well, they need to if they want to save their health, their family's health. If they love their family enough and their children enough and their pastor enough, instead of getting them cakes and cookies and crackers and candy and chips that are laced with these trans fats, they need to get them living food, such as organic grapes and berries and pomegranate juice and
a lot of
Alaskan
color. A lot
salmon.
Of color in
More
the
color, the better. Vegetables, fruit baskets, as well as, I tell people, coconut milk, almond milk,
could eat
nuts.
A lot of bread. Is bread a problem?
Bread is a huge problem.
Wheat bread?
Even wheat bread. And I'm going to talk about that next show.
Yeah.
Because it's really important. We're eating too much bread. And bread is making Americans fat. It's inviting inflammation in. That's another major cause of inflammation. I'll tell you real simple. It's real easy. It's the trans fats, which I'll talk about in detail. It's the fried foods, even the fried French fries, the fried chicken, the hush puppies, the fried shrimp, all the deep fried foods, as well as the omega-6 fats. What are omega-6 fats? Americans eat way too much omega-6 fats. These are inviting inflammation in the body.
What are they?
Okay, they're sunflower oil, safflower oil, soybean oil, cottonseed oil, as well as, the polyunsaturated fats.
I'm going to tell you something. We got a suicide problem going on out here right now. We do, because people are saying, I got nothing I can eat anymore.
Well,
I'm
no,
done.
No,
I'm done.
No, we got to crucify the flesh and lay some foods on the altar and watch the health of the church come back. But these are simple. They're found in most salad dressings, sauces, and gravies. That's it. And
yep.
People are putting on making a beautiful salad full of romaine lettuce or spinach, tomatoes and carrots and all the greens that are beautiful. And then they're putting 1,000 calories of polyunsaturated fats on it, creating inflammation. But that's just another. Now, here's another thing, sugar. Sugar is very inflammatory, extremely inflammatory. So when they eat that cake icing and cake, they're getting the most inflammatory foods on the planet.
They want some of the sweet stevia.
Stevia is wonderful. Tagatose, natural sugar. Tagatose tastes just like sugar.
Right.
You can bake with it. It has 1/3 the calories of sugar. Plus, diabetics can use it. It doesn't raise the insulin levels.
All these things you said, virtually all of them, I've been able to handle because I understood the importance of them. But get this now, because in the next program, we're talking about what I didn't do when God was telling me specifically, you're creating a problem. Like Billy Graham said, you're helping dig your grave with your teeth. And I brought type 2 diabetes on myself. That could have cost me my life and my lessened ability to fight a staph infection I got following a surgery. I should have listened. You need to be listening. People you love need to be listening. We want to send you the book. We want to help you. I'm trying to help you. God wants you to live a long time. And He wants you to share life a long time because you're full of life. You appreciate Dr. Colbert. You appreciate what he's already shared. He's going to be with us again. I want you to get the book. We'll send it to you. We'll also send you the book that I've written that's a very simple read. Get into this complex, worthy read. But this is seeing God and learning life lessons from pets and from what God created. You're going to love this. We're asking you to help us save lives. You're going to watch a doctor's son, one of the medical doctors that I respect, Dr. Jacobson, as much as any man I know. Hospital named after him. Taught at Southwestern Medical. He's here in the audience. You're going to see his son on the mission field watching something that should move you deeply. Watch closely.
James, I'm sitting here with this little boy, and when I came in, I noticed he was sitting here, and he's eating dirt. I've never seen a child eat dirt. He's trying to fill his little stomach. There's an emptiness and a pain that malnutrition brings, and he's trying to somehow fill that hurt in his little tummy. All he knows to do is he knows he's hungry, and he knows that maybe if I put something in my mouth, it will somehow take that hunger away. It won't. I've just never seen anything like it. But we could do something about it. We can give this precious little boy food. So please, James, as I sit here brokenhearted, let's help people really understand how severe this situation is. And let's give this child some real food that he can put into his stomach and take away that pain.
I love you. I love you. We're going to bring you some food. Okay? We're going to bring you some food.
That little boy didn't understand a word of English. But that little boy, I know, knew he was looking into the face of love. I know that. Bruce's little boy is about 6'4", maybe 6'5". He's a college student. But he loved that little boy. And the children around that you saw sitting there, they had come to a feeding center. And probably the little fellow had been eating dirt a long time. But now we're going to be feeding them. I say now, we, and the we includes you. We've got, I think, currently 3,000 mission workers in Africa set in place to feed nearly a 500,000 children that came because they heard they could find something other than dirt because of love. And many of the children have found their last hope. Many of the mothers have brought them because they heard somebody would help their baby, babies that they don't even have the milk in their breast to nurse because the mother's malnourished. It's got to be one of the saddest sights to see a mother with no milk try to feed a little baby. Betty and I have watched it for nearly 25 years now, and we've been saving, with your help, millions of children's lives, just like that little guy. Sudan right now is tough. It's just really, really tough. It's a situation where it's risky, it's dangerous. But the missionaries, boy, they march in where angels fear to tread. They just don't want to go empty-handed. They want to go in with bowls like this that you bought. I mean, the missionaries never ask for heat-resistant bowls. Our viewers watched them bring in the tin cans, and the hot soup would burn their hands while they held the can. And our viewers said, give them some bowls. The missionaries said, we can't afford bowls. We got to save their lives. But our viewers said, we'll give them bowls. You may not be able to see it, but in the bottom of every one of these bowls, it says life. Because that's what we put in it, life. And it's life and love that puts it in there. We want you to help us feed these children. I'm asking you to run to the telephone or run to the computer, lifetoday.org. Just punch it in. And I want you to make the largest gift you can. Take your bank card, use it like a check. That's how you should always use it, like a check. And if you can help us feed 10 children by making a gift of $100 for the next month, so we'll be able to feed them for months in all these hard-hit areas. The missionaries won't be empty-handed. They'll be able to put something in the bowls. We're asking many of you to give $100 and add another $25 so we can buy another 25 bowls, about a dollar each, and give them to the children. Would you do that? We're sending the beautiful Sarah Young devotional Bible. This is one of the most beautiful Bibles I've ever seen. And it has the devotionals written by a wonderful missionary. It's beautiful. Help us feed 10 children. If you can give $1,000, we'll send you the lion and the lamb bronze to say thanks for feeding those 100 children. We'll gladly send you the book, The God of All Creation, that I wrote to help you understand the life lessons you can learn from all God's creation, including your little pets, like we learned from our dachshund. You're going to love this book. You're going to love God more and others more. I want to send it to you to say thanks. And we just ask you, please, please, dial that number or go online. Make the biggest gift you can. You're giving the greatest gift. You're giving someone a chance at life. Thank you for making that call.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Today, you can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. And now we have a miracle opportunity. A $3.8 million food grant has been offered to us for our mission and relief efforts. All we have to do is guarantee we can deliver the food at a cost of $640,000. This means your gift today can now have six times the impact. $30 to help feed three children can have a $180 impact. $50 for five children can have a $300 impact. And $100 to help feed 10 children can have a $600 impact for feeding. With your gift, you can receive James Robison's newest book, God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, which today can have a $6,000 impact. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I want to say thank you for your help. By the way, if you get busy when you're calling and you're trying to help save a life, to give life, you be persistent. You write that number down. You say, I'm getting through, or I'm going online. I'm going to help somebody. If you make a gift, whatever God puts on your heart, we'll also send you Dr. Colbert's book, The Seven Pillars of Health. See, this is a doctor. I've known him a long time. He's helped a lot of people you love get well. He really has. He wants to help you get well because God loves you, and we love you. We'll send it to you. Just, hey, help us get some kids well by giving them the answer. You know, sometimes, Dr. Colbert, you don't know what to do sometimes. But for these little children, we know what to do. Amen. They just need some food. Would you say thanks again to Dr. Colbert for being with us? He's going to come back, and we're going to talk about a problem that I face, type 2 diabetes. And diabetes is a killer. You can be cured. Important that you remember this is the last week. Critically important we hear from you. Your gift will be multiplied six times, but we must hear from you this week.
Join us next week to find out what it really means to have more than enough as we explore God's plan for your financial peace and provision. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.